Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to another episode of the Fresh and Fit Pod. I am your host, Chad, along with the other host with the most, with the least amount of buttons, James Abrams. James, always good to see you, brother.
See you too, bro.
Until I actually see you.
Why is it like that, man? Why do we have this relationship where we just can't be civil around each other?
I think we are civil. I think us not being civil, we'd always be wrestling or snarling at each other or like cussing each other out. Like, we understand
that this is our relationship.
These are the cards we've been dealt, and this is how it works.
I think most of the time when we even have guests on the show, they act more as like mediators between us.
We have like 54 counselors.
Yeah, basically.
That we haven't paid yet.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it might be the way it is.
This is episode 55.
Is it 55?
55, man. I'm excited.
Contrary to popular belief, we are still rolling.
We're still here.
And we're still here. And despite the many people who think that we should be not or named something different, we're not going to get into that today.
No, never. But you know what? Just like Antoine Fisher said,
still standing.
I'm still here.
No.
I'm still strong.
Still standing.
No matter what you said, you couldn't destroy me.
Still standing. I'm still strong.
Whatever. But he said it. And he said it passionately.
He did.
Like I'm saying it right now. I should be an actor.
You know how to act.
I don't know how to act.
You don't know how to act.
I act up all the time.
I think if you were in a movie, it would have to be a like a comedic style of The Transporter. It would be like a combination of The Rock and Jason Statham.
Hey, bro. Hey. I'm Hollywood. I'm here for it.
I think you can do that.
I'm here for it, bro.
I think you can
give me a comedic action movie. Yeah. Hey, I'm here for it, bro. Just let me know. You know what I'm saying? Sign me up.
Your kryptonite would be silky shirts with three or fewer buttons.
And I'll just get weak after it's not buttoned up.
Yeah,
If it's buttoned up like this,
if it's
too much, it'd be like me versus a shirt guy.
Me versus
like a tie guy. Oh, man, it's crazy, man. But, bro, man, you and I both have had some great weekends. This past weekend for me, you know, I'm a big fight fan. I got a chance to kind of like geek out and see some of the MMA fighters that I'm a fan of. Michael Bisping and Dustin Poirier. I saw Sugar Sean in the elevator. You know, Sugar Sean, the one with Sean O'Malley, the one with the crazy hair color, stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah. Irish guy.
I don't know if he's Irish. I'm not sure who he's Irish, but he's white, but I'm not sure if he's Irish. But O'Malley is Irish though, right?
Typically,
yeah, O'Malley is Irish, but I saw him in the elevator. We were in the same hotel, Hotel Indigo. Shout out to Hotel Indigo. Like, a lot of people stayed there. It was pretty lit. But so I saw him, man. He was smaller than I expected, but a lot of those fighters are small, especially when you think about making like 145 pound weight class. Like, that's small. 135, that's small. So I got a chance to see that. The fights was on point. We went to the press conference. Almost got into a fight at the press conference, thanks to Coach T. You know. we got to get Coach T on the show too. But
how did you almost get into a fight at the pre-fight?
At the pre-fight, the press conference, man. Like, so I'm just sitting there minding my business, geeking out, being a fan. You know what I'm saying? So like, we're just sitting there chilling, and one of Jake Paul's friends has said something, and I don't know what he said exactly, but he got to talking crazy to Tyron Woodley's mother, and then Coach T was like, nah, cuz, like, we don't do that here. You know what I'm saying? So then it started becoming a thing, like, going back and forth. Like, he's like, no, you don't do that. You don't disrespect nobody's mom. So I think, like, Coach T, he was right. Like, I don't care what the fight is. Like, you don't disrespect nobody's mother. So when that happened, I was like, well, Coach T kind of got me in here. I got to roll with Coach T, you know what I'm saying, in case something happens. So let me make sure, like, I got his back. You know what I'm saying? I just was like, let me just make sure I got his back. So I had to posture up, you know what I'm saying, kind of push people and make sure everything was cool. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And I helped Tyron Woodley's mother up out the chair, and that security came and moved her out. But it was cool, bro. Like, I just was like, so it was, I'm just joking when I say I blame Coach T for it, but it was really Jake Paul's crew that was kind of like started the whole thing.
Yeah, this is an age when mama jokes are out the window.
It's done.
But maybe they're not at that age to realize that.
No, it's not even just a mama jokes. It's just a matter of like respect. But some fighters, they don't have that respect. So you're right. And that's why they're in that profession as a fighter, because if you don't that's the perfect profession for you. If you don't like respecting people and you just want to say what you want to say, then be a fighter, and that's perfectly okay.
Yeah, I gotta say it was really cool. While I was out of town, we had a chance to watch the fight, and first of all, I don't know if I've seen that kind of buzz in Cleveland televised the way I did, like, since LeBron left.
I was about to say, since post-Cavs.
Post-Cavs. And I think things are going to come around. I think things are coming around with the Browns. But in the meantime, this was different. This was very unique. And see, not only Montana Love come out and show out in his hometown, but, you know, we got guys that have been on the show. Calvin Love at Little Giants. Michael Blue, another trainer at Little Giants. Guys that are on that team and have played a role. It's just cool to see. It really is cool to see them come together. And I don't want to say put Cleveland on the map. I don't want to say that.
No, but they showed out.
They definitely showed out.
And Montana Love definitely had the best fight of the night. Mm. The best fight, him and Berekchek, however you pronounce that name. They had the best fight for sure. Even though his opponent looks like a James Bond villain.
Yeah, like a Russian spy.
It's kind of like a vibe I got
from
him.
So grade his shorts, 0 to 10.
Montana Love shorts?
Yeah.
I'm going to give him 10 for difficulty. I couldn't imagine doing anything.
I couldn't imagine the sweat.
I couldn't imagine doing any athletic thing in those shorts. And he boxed in them.
And then he had the audacity to be super Cleveland and have Bone Thugs and Harmony come out.
Absolutely. But you know, he had the matching like hoodie on too
Yeah, he did. Now okay, let's do this.
Now don't do it. I know you're about to say something about my apparel, but go ahead.
No, I'm not. Okay. You don't know me. You thought you did. Okay. Montana, Jake Paul, smash or pass. Who you got to pass and you got to smash one.
No, I don't.
They're ring attire.
I'm going to say pass on Jake Paul's. Are you talking about their like walking out attire?
I'm talking about what they had
on the walkouts.
Sure.
Because their ring attire is whatever, but their walkout attire. I like the thought of what Jake Paul did with the jerseys.
Sure.
I like the thought. I just didn't like the execution. I didn't like the execution. I think it could have been executed a whole lot better.
You think it got to him when Woodley called him out before the fight, like basically calling him a poser about where he grew up.
Yeah, he was like, man, that was such a funny thing to him to say. Like, he was like, nobody dresses like this where you're from.
Nobody.
But that's not true though.
Well, people do. I think what Woodley was doing,
trying to make him sound like he's like some suburban like.
Yeah, white soft boy. Kid, yeah. White boy, because he doesn't really know him either. But I think also Woodley was like, yo, I might get my ass beat, and the possibility of it's gonna look bad. I gotta change this up a little bit. Yeah. I think it's a little bit of that too.
I think it's a controversial win, a loss. I think Tyron Woodley could have definitely won that fight. It was very close. I think Tyron Woodley should have been a little bit more active, and he would have won because he was putting the pressure on. To me, he had the better shots, the stronger shots. Almost knocked Jake Paul through the ropes, which I thought was crazy. So I would have to give the fight, you know what I'm saying? I mean, on like points, you would give it to Jake Paul, but just on like ring dominance, execution, damage, those things I would give to Tyron Woodley. And so, but boxing matches are scored kind of weird, you know, so you just gotta be careful. And Tyron Woodley does have that failure to launch syndrome. And that's part of the reason why he's been on a four fight losing streak too, because in the UFC, because he failed to launch a lot of times when he was fighting. So, and that just kind of carried over a little bit in this fight, not as much as it did in his UFC career, but it definitely carried over and showed in this fight.
You know, I have a hard time getting with certain sports where there's not an absolute. Like, the sports where the, you know, you
there's some no, type there's, of judgment.
There's no question. Yeah,
there's type of judgment involved.
Because even baseball, I mean, every sport has that, right? Every sport has that. You know, whenever there's a ref involved, there's a judgment.
It's the difference between a referee and a judge. So yes. So like gymnastics, yeah, and stuff like that, they have a judge.
Yep.
Bodybuilding, judge.
Yeah. Boxing, figure skating.
Judge. Yeah, judges. So that's, yep, a little different than a referee who's like controlling the flow of, yeah, the game, yeah, yeah, or yeah, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. I don't know why it's hard for me to get with those kind of sports. Bro, I can't feel my legs. I waist down. My body is completely battered.
So if you guys don't know, man, I know Chad talked about it in the previous episodes, but Chad just did something crazy, man. Usually when you hear something called Hood to Coast, you think of some like rap, some type of rap beef or something like that, right?
A mixtape.
A mixtape. Hood to Coast mixtape. But this was actually a run from Mount Hood to the Pacific Coast.
Yeah, that in Oregon. It was just shy of 200 miles, 199. This is the 39th, I think the 39th year.
And so you guys did a relay, right?
We did a relay. We started at the mountain, at the top of Mount Hood at 3 a.m. Thursday morning. No. Friday morning, 3 a.m. It was about 40-some degrees. It was cold. It was raining. It was dark.
Of course.
And I had packed for 80 degrees. So at this point, I'm literally rethinking everything I've
So you had to run fast to stay warm.
Well, the weather changed. Okay. So the way it worked basically is, you know, you whatever number you are, for me I was number 9. I'm the 9th runner. So
out of how many runners?
Out of 12 of us.
12 guys.
So in my rotation, I didn't run at 3 a.m. Our first runner did, and then I ran, I don't know, 6 hours later or so.
So you had to wait for them at a spot, or you just...
So, yeah, you wait, yep. The first rotation, you wait until you run. Then when you run, when you're divided into two vans,
yeah,
6 and 6, I'm in the second van, and I'm driving to our first runner, which is our 6th runner, or 7th runner.
Okay.
Am I confusing you enough yet, or are you following
I'm following
this?
You.
Okay. So when he runs... We drive to his spot, and then we drive to the next.
Okay.
And then the next. And then when our van is done with the rotation, we have some time to relax and chill.
Okay.
Not that long, though. Maybe 4 or 5 hours.
Okay.
Then we go and do it all over again. We do it 3 times. So it over the course for us, I think of 30, 31 hours, we did our 199 miles.
You didn't sleep, really, did you?
Barely. I mean, you're sleeping in a van that is not meant for comfort or sleep.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what it's meant for other than get you to and from. It really wasn't comfortable, but it added to the madness of it. And you're driving through backwoods. You're driving up and down gravel roads in the dark, no service, in the mountains.
So did you lay on any other, like, teammate, like
rip into somebody?
No, like just say, me and you are on this van. Like,
okay, would you lay on?
Would we have to lay back to back or something? How did
no,
you?
No, there
like,
was none of that. So no,
because like in the military, they like sleep back to back.
So a couple times we set up shop like in the parking lot. We had sleeping bags. We sleep in the parking lot.
Oh, okay.
Or sleep sitting up for 2 hours, and then you're right back at it. Yeah, it wasn't ideal, but I'll say this: I wouldn't change that. Like, to have to find a hotel or something. First of all, you don't have the time to do that, and then you know that's not what you're there for.
Yeah, but that sounds like a really good adventure, man. I can't imagine doing that. It sounds cool. It sounds like a good bonding experience too.
It was.
Did you guys like, yeah, really bond and get connected after?
Yeah,
this?
I mean, you have no choice. Sure. You know, I mean, you're either gonna make you or it's gonna break you, because you're with these people and you are relying on them.
Yeah.
You know, the day before we started, we went to climb up this mountain, this waterfall in Oregon. It's beautiful. absolutely gorgeous.
It's just a waterfall in Oregon. Just sounds amazing.
I think it's
enchanted.
I think it's the tallest something or other. Don't give me the line.
What happened?
We're going up the mountain. Mind you, none of us have properly, prepared for this hiking.
Didn't have the right shoes.
Oh man, not even close. I don't know, not even close. I'm not gonna say what I had on, but not even close. And
did you hold on? Please tell me you didn't have on flip flops.
I did not. But there were people on the team that had flip flops, which goes to show you we were not prepared.
Were they Yeezy flip flops?
No, they were. No, one of them. Yeah, one guy did. Had some Yeezys.
I already knew.
How do you feel about the Yeezys?
The Yeezy flip flops.
Not that I'm talking about like they're kind of a flesh tone, like not the ones that look like a net over your foot.
You're talking about the slides?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're stupid. I think they look cool, but I think they're stupid for the price they are.
Oh yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I think they
look
cool.
We can agree to that.
But I would never buy them.
So
it's not worth it.
Going to the mountain. I roll my ankle. And I heard it crack a few times.
Ooh.
Yeah. Popped up. And I just remember thinking, like, you've got to be kidding me. This did not just happen. We're hours away from starting. And foot, swelled up instantly. Got hot. It feels like it's on fire,
Jeez.
So we got it. And it's a mile and a half up this mountain.
So you kept walking?
I mean, we were near the top already. So it took us a while to walk a mile and a half up a steep mountain. We're now about to stop now at 1.3.
Wow.
Saw the top of the waterfall, went back down. It's not like there's a medic nearby. So threw some ice on it from the, there's a spot there. Had no idea what I was about to do. Had no idea. But it was probably the toughest point for the race for me, and it hadn't even started yet. Because in my mind, I'm like, no, I'm not doing this. I can't do it. How am I can't even walk right now.
Mm.
I had really kind of psyched myself out of it.
So did you listen to David Goggins? What got you ready to go?
Honestly, this is so crazy. You said, I thought about that time that he broke like every bone in his foot. And I'm like, this dude not only did that, but he's moved past it and he's done more. What the hell am I complaining about?
Yeah.
And also, I was like,
let's go.
I also thought, this is such a badass experience that I'm about to have. I gotta do it.
So you basically said, like, sometimes those trying moments, like, so I equate that to certain like workouts I've done that would have been just like, or football games I've been in, it's just been super tough. I went against somebody that was really tough or whatever. And I think that what you're saying is like going through this tough experience just probably taught you so much about yourself. It also probably unpeeled some stuff and unpeeled some layers that now you're able to like use that mental fortitude that you developed during this time in like anything. You probably feel like you can accomplish anything right now.
When you're out there and you're not just running against yourself, but you're running against the elements. So the second leg was crazy. So mind you, my teammate running before me, she ran, I think, 6 miles up a gravel hill, complete incline, no relief, straight uphill. Yeah. So she's an animal for that one. The teammate before that did the same thing, maybe 5 or 6 miles, uphill gravel, doing turns and whatnot. Came to my turn, and by this time, the sun was starting to set. I had my headlamp on, and as it got darker, the light went out. So I could probably see 5 feet in front of me, And I had, and in my mind, I'm thinking, you just rolled your ankle. You can barely see the road. It's gravel. There's rocks. You should probably play it safe and walk it. You're still doing it. Just walk it. I wasn't with that though, bro.
Okay.
That was my fastest leg.
Wow.
That was my fastest leg. Now, I cramped up at the end. very badly. But as you know, as you're at all these checkpoints and you're seeing all these other runners from all over the place, and you realize that it's not what you're going through isn't just what you're going through.
Everyone's
got a jacked up knee, a jacked up hip, sprained this, sprained that, broke this, broke that, blisters on their heels, whatever. Those are the worst.
That's the worst.
Ooh. Yeah. And yet we're still out there. And to me, like you said, I think it's a mark of mental toughness, setting your mind out on something. And we talked about this with our previous guest who was on our team also, Chris Thaxton. You can prepare all you want. When you get out there,
something's going to happen.
Every time. And you don't know what it's going to be. I think what you can do, though, is you can prepare how you're going to respond to the things that you don't know.
Good talk.
You can determine your attitude and how you're going to respond. And if you have that mindset, then it's like you almost expect the unseen things to happen.
And this is just like life.
It's just like life.
If you come in there with a stinking attitude in certain situations, man, you got a negative attitude facing it, that's what's going to happen. You're going to have a negative response, man. But you come in somewhere with a positive attitude, leave yourself open, like, no matter what, I'm going to conquer this thing.
Yeah.
Then you're going to get it. Like, I don't think I've told, like, my scholarship journey, but, like, I was a person who, like, who was a late bloomer in sports. So, like, I didn't really get a lot of offers when I was fresh out of high school. So I was just really disappointed about that. So I went to a small college called Ashland University. Then I went to Akron. I became a preferred walk-on. I walked on, worked out really hard, got to like second on the depth chart. I was starting on some special teams. And then we had like and I thought that was a big accomplishment to me as a walk-on. I thought that was major. And then we had like some new coaching and stuff like that. So then my coaching staff got fired. And so I had to like send out film, send out my release to different colleges and stuff like that. And so like after this, then I finally got recruited by like a lot of like different schools and stuff, cause like 1AA's, Division II, stuff like that. I was like, man, this is major. This is something that was dope to me because I never got that experience, but I always wanted it. And I said that to say like, I always thought and believed in myself that I could be a good football player. And I kept preparing, kept training like it. Like anybody can tell you, anybody I ever played with, they'd tell you James was the hardest worker in the room. James worked hard. He might not have had the athleticism that a lot of people had or whatever, but James was a hard worker, period, point blank. You know what I'm saying? So like me being a hard worker, that was only because I believed that through this hard work, I was going to be successful. Mm-hmm. And because I had that positive attitude that when my opportunity came and I got all these scholarship offers, like a box is full of scholarships, because my brother, when he was in high school, he had a box full of scholarship offers. And I always wanted that. Mm-hmm. And I finally got that when I got to when I put out my transfer information. Albeit Division I AA's and Division II schools, I still was excited that I got that opportunity to get that. And that's one thing about keeping a positive attitude. Eventually, that is going to happen. What you've been working for, what you've been trying to grind for, it eventually happens. So I would just tell anybody, man, situations, man, you try to keep a positive attitude, a lot of times you get a positive response from that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because your mental toughness doesn't always equate to your physical toughness. So you can be the strongest person in the room.
Oh man,
and be the weakest mind.
So, my coach used to say this all the time. We had a player that looked phenomenal. He looked like he was carved out of granite. And my coach used to always say, "Looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane."
Ooh.
And bro, I'm talking about, man. And I'm talking, when he said that.
Yeah.
That crushed that kid. I mean, like, so, like, his
mental toughness. How do
you
bounce back?
Man, his mental toughness, ever since that day, man, I don't think he was ever the same. He said, looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane. Oh. Well, my coach, I mean, coach, I don't want to say his name. Coach,
yeah, the I coach say nameless. His
name. Coach at Heavy University between 2004 and 2006.
Called
me a faggot one time.
Hello.
He also called because I got chop blocked and I had to come off the sideline because my knee was hurting. And he said, "James, you're supposed to be hurting them, They ain't supposed to be hurting us. He also called my roommate a bitch.
Ooh.
He's done so many things. He's also made us run until he got tired.
I'll see all this stuff in 2021 would probably...
Oh, he would be canceled.
Yeah.
He would be so canceled. People would riot against him and stuff like that.
Pick it.
Us, we just was like, okay.
Because it was a different time, man. We knew what you were going to get with sports, all right? My coach isn't my therapist. My coach isn't my mom. You're my daddy. You're my coach.
Yep.
If you can't accept that in the world of sports... Maybe you shouldn't be in that. Yeah, I'm advocating for that because I'm tired of that stuff, man. Look, it's a competitive sport. You got adrenaline running, rushing, and that's for guys and girls. And that's not specific to guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, toughen up, Buttercup.
Yeah, you chose this sport.
You chose this sport. Don't come into my backyard and tell me what weeds to cut and what plants to grow. If I want to grow my plants or leave my weeds in my yard... That's not your yard.
Because think about it, like some of the most winning coaches, they're hard asses.
Yeah.
Nick Saban, Coach Belichick.
Bobby Knight might be a bad example.
But Bobby Knight was a good winning coach. He was hardcore.
He was throwing chairs and whatnot.
Hardcore.
Yeah. But.
So, you know what I'm saying? I think different coaches have different, you know what I'm saying, ways to coach and stuff. So I think it's cool, but. I'm not opposed to being coached hard, me personally.
No, me either.
So, I know you went to Oregon. I know you did this run, Hood to Coast. Was there any other adventures outside of running? Because usually my experience, when you get a lot of people together going the same place, they tend to kind of get into some adventures.
No question. Multiple times, I denounced the race before. Can't really use the words I use, but yeah. Man. So we get to Vegas. We had a 7-hour layover in Vegas.
What do you do in Vegas for 7 hours?
Okay, so
but it doesn't matter because it has to stay in Vegas. So you don't have to tell me.
I'm not going to. I'll share a part of the story.
Okay.
I'm not a Vegas guy. That's not me.
Okay.
The guys I went with are. So by association,
you became a Vegas guy. Yeah, I mean.
So we get there. I don't have any clothes packed, like no Vegas clothes packed. I'm wearing sweats. I got shorts on. Matter of fact, we get to Vegas. We get to the front. One of the guys had a section in one of the clubs in Caesar's Palace. And mind you, the whole time I know I'm going to get turned away. I know it. Where you're walking up and you got beautiful people. Men and women, dressed
to the nines,
right. Yeah. Got you know, suit.
And you had on sweats.
I had on sweat, Under Armour shirt, and sweats.
Oh yeah,
running shoes, baseball hat.
typical day stuff. Right. That you wear during the day.
I look like I'm about to play the slots.
Right.
That's what I look like. Get to the front. Guy was nice enough. Said, "Hey, I can't let you in. We can't allow shorts in, but if you find pants, I'll let you in."
Okay.
Now it's like 1 a.m. in Vegas. No clothing stores in the area.
Was there there was no Target, no Walmart?
Nothing that was open. No.
Dang.
So.
You got to go to a gas station.
No. in all transparency, let me tell you guys. I'm a 36, 38 waist in all transparency. One of the guys in our group offered a pair of his pants. He wears a 30. So in my mind, I'm like, "Oh, this is it. This is it. I'm playing. I'm at the slots." But you know, you make things happen when you're in Vegas, right? So he said, "Hey, look, if you can fit my pants, you can wear them." So I'm walking back to the room. In my mind, I've already figured out backup plans when I know these pants are not going to fit.
Okay.
There's no way they're going to fit. So I'm figuring out another plan, but I'm at least try them on. I get to the room, open up his bag, pull them out. Not only are they a size 30, they're slim and they're white.
White jeans?
White.
Slim fit white jeans.
Slim fit white size 30. So I'm like, there's not even why. Why am I even gonna try this?
Ooh.
So not only do I, not only do I put these pants on, right? You could, I mean, you can see like the cut in my quads. You could see it. You could see it. I mean, I might as well have had some like running tights. I put them on. I can't zip them up. Can't button them up. So I had to take my shirt. I had to pull my shirt down to cover up that, you know, that region.
Did you really wear these? You wore these pants?
Well, I wore them. This is what I did. Before I left the room, we had gotten a room to put our luggage. Before I left the room, I did some practical movements. Knee bends, squats, reaching for something, sitting down. Because I had to get through all those things in the room before I went out to
So you went out into public, balls out?
No. I made sure they were tucked away. They were tucked away.
You couldn't
They weren't going anywhere.
You couldn't zip them. And
couldn't you zip them. Couldn't button them. These pants weren't going anywhere though.
So you just tucked everything.
These pants were like paper mache. Remember paper mache in school? That's what these pants were.
Bro, this sounds like the most uncomfortable experience.
It was extremely uncomfortable. I was heel walking more than I've ever heel walked in my life. It was just, there was no range of motion. So I'm walking back now across the street, you know, like, oh, can people see my crotch? Like, but I knew that when I got to the club, if I get in now, I got to still figure out if I can get in. The lights are dark. Who cares? You know what I mean?
You would be like the biggest pervert in the world.
I felt like the douche who wears the big belt buckle. That's what I felt like. So I get back to the front. I'm expecting this guy who said, hey, just you get some pants. Come back and find me. I'll take it to your guys. I'm expecting him to not do that, right? I'm looking like a schmuck. I had on an athletic t-shirt, white shoes, tennis shoes, and these white jeans that I barely could put my money in. Barely. I get to the front. He sees me. He waves me over. Say, hey, stand right here. Now, next to me are four drop-dead gorgeous women who have had no shortage of surgery.
And like alcohol.
Dolled up, just, you know. And I'm like, this isn't happening. I'm going to be standing here for a while. So he comes up to me and says, hey, I'm going to walk them in to their section. Their section is right next to yours. Just walk behind them.
Okay.
And I'll lead you right to your guys. I said, okay. So we go in.
What a cool bouncer.
What a cool bouncer. Cool guy. We go in. I don't know if he's a bouncer. He may be a promoter or something.
Okay.
I don't know. So we walk in, you know, it's like a maze getting to the spot. Opens up, and I'm like, not what I was expecting at all. Not what I was expecting. Get to the booth. Guys see me. They had no idea I was going to make it. I had no idea I was going to make it. As soon as I get there, first thing I do, sit down.
Absolutely.
I had to, bro. Dude, I couldn't feel my legs.
You didn't say, hey. And then
I was like, yeah. Tell you, I had to be aware of the length of my shirt.
Yep.
Had to. But because of that, I ended up having a blast, man. Matter of fact, that night is what I think set off the week for our trip. And what finished our trip, we had a very, we so just as crazy of a story, if not crazier. You ever watch like a video on like, you know, the Shade Room or something?
Yeah.
And be like, dang, like these viral videos pop up. Where are they popping up at? I was almost in one of those.
Why?
So one of the guys on our team, we're celebrating. We just ran 200 miles through the mountains. One of the guys celebrated with a bottle of Tito's.
Okay.
So we're going through TSA. Imagine this, right? We're in TSA. He's got a bottle of Tito's. He's just drinking. Just taking it to the head from the bottle. Go through TSA. Get to our gate. He's flirting with the lady, saying some inappropriate stuff. So he's already in alert. They're already in alert. They already got hawk eyes on him before we load the plane. Get on the plane, and he was not having the easiest of times dealing with his liquor intake.
Okay.
And all I'm sitting in the front. He's sitting in the back, and I'm getting text messages from people that aren't on the plane. Asking me, is it bad? Is it as bad as they're saying?
Who is they?
Exactly. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So I turn around. I see him waving his arm, yelling out, F y'all. No, this is racist. This is how our country works. he's lost. He's losing it. He's drunk. So at this point, we know he's not going to be on the plane anymore.
Absolutely not. They're not having no way. Or they're going to duct tape them to the seat.
In this particular airline, they've had issues before recently. So they're like, no. Not even a. There's no.
We're not even playing that game.
No. You got to go.
Go and go get sober.
So I'm texting one of my teammates. I'm like, yo, what do we do? We're leaving, right? We can't leave him. He's like, yeah, let me think about this real quick. Let me. All right. Because listen, this is the other thing. We had all day in the airport. We thought we could put our luggage at the airport and then enjoy the city and fly out at midnight. They weren't having that. So we changed our flight to this flight, which left in the morning. So our luggage is on this plane. We get off the plane. They kick him off. We get off the plane with him. We're like, our luggage. What are we going to do? So... talk to the front desk.
This was coming back. Right.
It's coming back now. Talk to the front desk. They say, it'll get to your location. Yeah, exactly. They said, okay. And we flew out later that night. So we get back home. Is our luggage? No, it's not. Matter of fact, I got to go pick up my luggage tonight. But we figured out the cheat code.
What was the cheat code?
Him getting drunk and kicked off the plane was our way of not holding onto our suitcases. The plane had our suitcases, and we got a chance to see the city. My drunk friend was the MVP that day.
Doesn't sound like it.
Well, I mean.
Does it sound like it
I
at
can
all?
See why. Let me also say this.
Like at all.
I'm not going to name this particular city on the West Coast, but this particular city is not sitting well with me. So we're on the train going back to the airport, and there's some kind of temper tantrum that the driver had of the train.
What?
He gets off, he grabs his stuff, walks right off the train, and says, I'm gone, I'm leaving. So we're sitting on the railroad. Until another driver comes up.
Wow.
This particular city is not sitting well with me right now, so.
Okay. What city is this, though, Chad? Why are you acting like you don't want to say what city it is?
Because.
Just because you had a bad experience in the city does not mean the city or the
I'm
people
not
are bad.
Saying it's Portland.
Okay.
Well, I'm not saying it's Portland.
Okay. Well, understandable. It's all good, man.
It's understandable. All good.
Yeah. I've had some experiences, not with TSA or not with a plane, but I almost got into it with when I was coming back from Saudi, because they talked about it was my flight back, because I had been gone for 9 months when I was supposed to only be gone for 2 months. So I'm sitting there like, okay, I come here. Then they're like, oh, your visa's expired. Before I get on the plane, I'm like,
and you're already at the airport, yeah?
I'm at the airport.
So what do you do?
So they're like, your visa's expired. I'm like, but sir, I don't need a visa going back to my country. What are you talking about, sir? What are you talking about? I'm like, he's like, your visa's expired. There's nothing we can do. You're gonna have to get this fixed. I'm like, what do you want? I'm like, bro, I'm not about to play this game with you. How much is it? You know what I'm saying? Because clearly it's a money play for you or something.
Yeah,
because
sure.
Because there's no way you're going to be actually charging me for a visa for me to go back to America. And I'm an American citizen. I'm showing you an American passport. Yeah. What are you talking about? So here's the money. What is it? How much? I'm like, how much is it? Yeah, it's $100 something dollars. I'm like, here, bro. Here, here's the money. Get me. I was, bro. When that man told me something, we can't let you on the plane because visas. I'm like, hold up, bro. I almost lost it, bro.
You're not about to get me stuck here.
I've been stuck here for 9 months, bro. It's my first time getting a chance to come back. I missed my daughter's birthday, bro. I'm not staying here one more day.
This is the guy. Is this the guy you first see when you get in the airport? Or is this the guy right before the air? You get on the airplane.
This the guy before you even get on the airplane. You know what I'm saying? So no. Like I'm still in the beginning part. I'm like at the
before TSA.
Before TSA.
Oh yeah, they're trying. Yeah, okay, all right.
Yeah, before TSA. I'm like, what is going on here, bro? Like, man, let me out here. Plus I'm flying first class or whatever. Like, bro, I ain't got time for this, man. Like,
yeah, you will get body rocked. Bro, get out of my way.
Get out, bro. The heat. So I could have been a viral video that day if he would have just took my money and just went on about my business, bro, because I would have snapped.
You should have. You probably should have. You could have cashed in on that.
Nah, I probably, man, not in another country. Not another country. Who knows what would have happened to me, bro.
Yeah, that might have been bad, actually.
That might have been a bad idea. I'll show them your picture and they might want to let me slide.
No. Wait, what does that mean?
Oh, nothing.
Are you saying salty material?
Man.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I'm like, this is my best friend, guys. He's
his name, and just let's go by Abraham. Abraham. Abraham.
Abraham. No, I'm calling you Abraham.
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 That's African, though.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not. I was just there.
I know Africans named Abraham.
Okay, but they get shut. I'm done. Anyways, man. So as you can see, guys, we had a crazy weekend, man.
Crazy.
It was super adventurous, man. If you guys had a crazy weekend or some crazy stories you guys want to share with us, man, share some pictures.
Yeah,
show us your crazy weekend. But if you guys were at the fights and you saw me, you didn't come up to me and say what's up, shame on you.
Shame on you.
If you guys was out there running in the dark with next to Chad, you didn't say what's up to him,
shame on you.
Or give him a nightlight, shame on you.
Shame on you. Matter of fact, bro, let me tell you this too. The locals there in the mountains did not like us being there.
Why, bro? Why?
I don't look. This, let me tell you. I'm running in the woods at night, dark, can barely see anything. His pickup truck goes by. Guy is standing in the bed of the truck, spraying something at me, like out of a spray can or something. I don't know what it is, but I could see something over my head. They drive up. They do it to the runners in front of them. I get to the end of my run. I told an official about what was going on, and they were like, yeah, it's locals messing with the runners. They've been throwing rocks too.
What were they spraying?
I don't know,
bro. I don't know if it was COVID.
What if it was COVID?
What if it was pee in a bottle?
Let me tell you something, bro.
If it was pee in a bottle,
that probably wouldn't have been the worst thing I touched during the run. And you're out there like,
Did you poop in the woods?
No,
you didn't. And wipe your butt with a leaf?
I didn't take a deuce during the time I was running.
Okay,
I didn't. No, I did take a shower
in the water and like the
in the school. I had us one of those like public joints where like everybody's just walking around slinging and danging.
Oh, that's what's up. I would like something like that. Just to feel free, man. Feel like you're connected with nature and with your people. You know what I'm saying? Like, who cares, man?
I don't think I had any people where I was at.
You were just in there by yourself?
I mean, there were people there, but not my people.
Oh, not you.
not my people.
I feel you.
Barely any of your people.
I'm sure.
Barely. More of the others.
Of course. And that's fine. I mean,
it's fine.
Yeah, we love everybody.
Everybody.
You know what I mean? So, guys, before we go, man, I hope that this episode was encouraging to you. I hope you got pulled something from it. Again, we talked about something that I think is major, which is mental fortitude. And I think that's something that you guys need to make sure you carry with you throughout the day. That's why we use fitness and we use freshness or whatever. It's not just about executing a fitness task. It's more about the mental fortitude, the strength, the things that you teach and you learn yourself when you go through these tough times and tough things, man. One thing that I learned this weekend while watching the fights, that like those analysts and guys, they work so hard, man. So like I can't even imagine having to cover the fight, be at the fight, cover the event, post about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't even imagine that now. Now that I've kind of like experienced it, like I was sure. Like, I kind of want to be a little analyst. I want to do some MMA analysis, whatever. But yo, it's gonna be some hard work, man. So yeah, shout out to those guys, man. Shout out to those guys, and shout out to you, Chad. I want to say congratulations on finishing your race and finishing your run, man. Rocking your medal, you deserve it. You deserve that, bro. Make sure you hang that up. Post about that, man.
And I'd be really wrong for not doing this, but I do want to just give a little bit of acknowledgement, not only to Steph Loss, DJ Steph Loss, but to the rest of the Run with the Winners crew for giving me the opportunity. And not just that, but we really carried each other. Like,
can you name everybody on the team?
Yeah.
Go.
And Van One, it was Steph, it was Chris, Megan, Ike, Roger, and Kat. In my van, it was me, Austin, Annie, Ed, Chris, and Mario. Mario was by far the celebrity of the weekend.
He was the fastest?
No, he was late to every exchange. So we would be like, where's Mario? And then everybody was like, where's Mario? Oh, where's Mario? So he became...
Where's Mario?
He became a living legend.
Wow, that's funny.
Yeah, man.
I'm glad you got a chance to experience that, man. Guys, so if there's any races or something that you guys got coming up, man, let us know. I gotta do my first. I'm gonna do a run. I'm gonna start running with the winners pretty soon.
Yeah, he's gonna run with us this week.
When is it? It's this Saturday.
We got a Wednesday evening run at the beach.
Wednesday evening.
Yeah.
What time?
6:00.
Okay. If I don't have a client, I'll be right there.
Bring your client.
We could do that. All
right. You are the coach, right?
I am the coach.
They have to do what you say, right?
That's right.
And you get paid. You'd be the only one at the run getting paid.
Besides Steph Loss.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, cool. All good. Hey, man. God bless you guys. Love you guys. We out. Peace.